Praise the Lord. Sarah looks like she's just ready. You ready, Sarah? Yeah, she's ready. Yeah, I think it's going to be Sarah and Zoe playing at the same time. And then Sister Anna's going to sing.
I'm sorry, I lost the original. But we'll make it.
Sarah. Good job. Give the Lord a clap of praise once again. Luke, you want to come help us take up our offering? Come on down. You're the next contestant in the offering is right.
Wait, just second, thank you for this day. Yes. Thank you for all you do for us. Please bless this offering, and please bless the preacher as he preaches and stuff.
Yes.
And please Help us be more like you. And forgive us for all of our sins. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Out of the mouth of babes. Amen. Praise God. Let's just sing God is good all the time. Amen. Give C. Why don't we stand to our feet? We're going to have Brother Wade come. God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. His light will shine. God is good. Our God is good all the time. Oh, God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. Through the darkest night, His light will shine. God is good. Our God is good all the time. If you're walking in the valley, oh, if you're walking through a valley, there are shadows all around. Do not fear, He will guide you. He will keep you safe and sound. He has promised to never leave you nor forsake you. And His word is true. God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. Through the darkest night, His light will shine. God is good. Our God is good all the time. We were sinners so unworthy. Oh, we were sinners, so unworthy. Still for us He chose to die. Filled us with His Holy Spirit. Now we can stand and testify that His love is everlasting. And His mercies, they will never end. God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. Through the darkest night, His light will shine. God is good. Our God is good all the time. Let's sing that first verse. Oh, if you're walking through the valley and there are shadows all around, do not fear, He will guide you. He will keep you safe and sound. He has promised to never leave you, oh hallelujah, nor forsake you. And His word is true. God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. Through the darkest night,
His light will shine. God is good. Our God is good. Oh, why don't we listen to the musicians play? Clap your hands.
He knows what we need before we need it. He knows how to handle it before we try to handle it. If we just let him handle it. Am I not on? I turned it on. I turned it on. I promise I did.
You're on.
They can hear me anyway. Ah, now. Thank you. Okay. All right. Boo devil. All these electronics. Good to be back in the house of the Lord. Good to see each and every one of you. Smiling faces. This afternoon. And hope something was said this morning will help you a little bit. And let run about half of you off, so just saying. I'm going to start quit filling y'all up so much in the morning, so make you come back and get some more. I know some people have to go and do things. I know that. I know there's circumstances, but what if I've not showed up this afternoon? Yeah, that's what I mean. Sometimes I wish I could just throw in a towel and sit down next to June. And I don't think I've sat next to her since, even when we go to camps, even when we go, I go preach somewhere, we don't get to sit together because I'm preaching and she's sitting down. But that's okay. We get our time other time. We good. We all right. Oh, did I make? Sorry, Bella, you'll be all right. When you're in love, you just can't help it. All right? Just can't help it. It just oozes out. Lily, don't let Zach ooze all over the place, but it's good to be in love. But you know what? There's a higher love than that that we'll never know without the new birth. Without the new birth, as we were talking about this morning, you'll never understand how God can love you. Unconditional love is agape love. Filial love? Nope. It has conditions. Sorry, folks. I'm just going to be plain. Sometimes when you get mad at your wife, you do not want to love on her. She does not want to love on you. Hello, somebody. But what about if God did that to us? No, he loves us unconditionally. We just need to love him back. Amen. If he gives you a new birth, then guess what? That's his love for you. And then we want to grow up more and more in God. So good to be in the house of the Lord. Let me get finished with these announcements. They're the same as we were this morning, but I'm going to make them again. Brother Bob will be speaking for us Wednesday night. We're going to have communion, foot washing, and baptismal service after the second service today. Saturday, June the 18th at 525 Caldell Road, Homer, Georgia, 30547, will be our fishing trip that we're going to have at Brother Terrence's lake. They did some work on it yesterday and got it kind of cleaned out so you can go fishing from 8 o'clock until we'll probably eat about 2 or 1:30, somewhere like that. And then we'll have other things to do and other things to eat. We've got a list of things. Just make sure you bring your fishing gear, bring you a couple of folding chairs, and a change of clothes for the young kids because you know they're going to get in the water. June the 19th, which will be next Sunday, Brother Daniel Perry will be here with us. And he will be speaking for us both services. And after the second service, there will be a graduation celebration for 2022 graduates. Cake and ice cream. And our brother John Durrett and Olivia Canada we're the two that we're going to that's going to be there. We'll start doing this every year. Lord Terry's, we'll just have, instead of singling out people, we'll just have a day. We'll set in June, and we'll set a day on Sunday and say, all right, 2023 graduates, if you graduated, we're going to have a ceremony for you. Not a ceremony, but a meal downstairs or cake and ice cream, and have a little party for you. Because you know what? Struggle to get out of school.
Yeah.
Amen? A lot of us try to get out of school without, anyway. I'm talking about graduating. So we're going to do that next Sunday after the second service. We'll have a graduation ceremony. Brother John Durrett, Jr., and also Olivia Canada, the two graduates. All right, June the 25th, we will have a prayer service starting at 7 o'clock here at the church. I'll open the doors. We'll play preliminary music, and you can just pray to your heart's desire. And then we'll, when everybody's finished, we'll lock up and go home. Won't be any, won't have any coffee or cake or no, we're here to pray that God will be with us in the furtherment of the service that we have in July and for the rest of the year. You know, half this year is gone. Half this year is over. God said he'd make it short. Well, he sure is. But them birthdays start piling up, though, don't they? Them numbers start getting bigger. But that's okay. I don't mind getting a bigger number.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Freddie. Amen. They do get bigger, though. But remember, July the 3rd, we'll have our service here with Brother Chris Long. Will be with us two services, and then we will have a meal after the second service. We're working on that. I got to talk to Brother Dale and Sister Dale about something. June and I have devised a plan, so we'll let you know. Y'all going to show up anyway if it talks about food, so y'all going to be here anyway. So July 21st, we leave in the church at 9 o'clock Thursday night, going to Ohio. There's some 40-something of us total going, so what they're going to do is they're going to live stream the services from Ohio. So if you want to watch them and you're not going, you can watch them from your home just like you would live stream here. There will be no service here. And I told June, I said, we're going to park all of our cars here because this is where we're going to meet to get on the bus. And all of our cars will be here. If somebody comes in that don't know where we're at and tries to get into church, they're going to think a rapture took place. Empty cars and no people. So we'll leave a sign on the door for anyone that that doesn't get this message. But we will have a it'll be a live stream service that weekend on July, I believe it's the 25th. All right, but we will all be in Ohio, most of us will all be in Ohio, having a youth service there and a regular service on Sunday. So keep them in your prayers. Keep everyone in your prayers. We appreciate everything that everybody does. Like I said, The guys are working overtime. I never asked them to do a live stream service in Ohio because I thought it'd be too much. But they just came up with it. They said we're going to do it. So I like people that can do that. That they suggest first what to do. So just keep all that in your prayers. And we know we got other stuff going on. But remember, June the 25th. Come here and like I said, it's not mandatory. I'm not going to. If you don't come, it's just your loss. I mean, you know, so we had a good time, Brother Donnie, didn't we? Just praying. So all we did was prayed. We just got down on our hands and knees and prayed, and we prayed and prayed for an hour or so, and then got up and felt refreshed and went back home. And then the service there was a good service. So I'd like to have those every once in a while. It just kind of keeps us all clean. Amen? Just remember all that. Remember the announcements, and let's bow our heads. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for the time you've given us, Lord, to be on this earth. Father, as we were talking this morning, there's a purpose. We're to be married. We're to produce children. Even the males of this bride of Jesus Christ, we're all female in the body. And we're to produce you, Lord, in this end time. Now, Father, we pray that you'd be with each one of us, take care of us. Lead us by your Holy Spirit through this service, Lord. You be the active participant. You be the one doing the speaking. And Lord, may be we open our ears that we can hear from you, Lord. Be with the ones that are sick, the ones that are gone on vacation, Lord, Brother Danny, Sister Joyce, different ones. We pray that you'd be with them and keep them safe as they come back, Lord. Be with Brother Bob Wednesday night as he speaks for us, and Brother Perry next weekend as he comes, Lord, a young minister. Lord, we're under anticipation to hear from you, Father. We pray that you just bless us now in the furtherment of this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good to have Sister Taylor back with us back there in the back. All right, who is this son of man? And we're going to continue. This will be part 42B, if you want to put that on there, brothers, because I've got a part 43, but guess what? Didn't get to it this morning. John 1, verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That's our problem. We miss his visitation because he's dwelling among us now in human flesh. We miss that visitation, and we're going to be in trouble. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You may be seated, and the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the Word. Let me read you my little quote of the day. Fellowship, this is kind of a quote that goes along with what we're talking about this morning, but the prophet of God in Fellowship 1960 says, now, fellowship comes by love, and love requires fellowship. If you love your wife, you've just got to get with her and talk with her. If you love your friend, you've got to get with him and talk with him. If you love God, there's got to be a basis for fellowship. You cannot have complete fellowship and livelihood without these agreements. You cannot be married without an agreement. You cannot have a wife without some kind of agreement, and that agreement is based upon your vow. You cannot have fellowship with God without coming to God's agreement. That's our problem. We want him to conform to our agreement. Ain't it happening? And there's a basic thing for fellowship, and that's the blood only. It's been God's way from the beginning, and it will be till the end. The only place of fellowship is through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the only fellowship. And what? We are the blood by the Spirit. The Spirit of God inside of us cleans us. What does the blood do? Keeps us clean. It cleans us up, all right? That's what blood does. The blood of Jesus Christ makes us clean. So here we go. Let's finish up. Let's try to get through this and try to get down to faith. So let's go through it pretty quick. We don't have to show the chart. We know that we've got to grow. As we were talking about this morning, we know as human beings, we were one-time babies. We made mistakes. We were foolish. We fell and busted our arm and, you know, knocked a big knot on our head. And Sister Barbara still does it now. So we got... She tripped over something and fell, but bless her heart, she looks fine today. She didn't have any bruises. God put that grass there for her to fall on, not the cement. Amen. But listen, we come through, though. We come through all these things of falling and tripping. And you know what the whole thing is? She's sitting right back there right now. That means she got up from that situation she was in. She got up from it and didn't say, oh, woe is me. No, she sent a prayer request out. That prayer request went out. We all prayed for her. She prayed herself, and God brought her, and now she's in church. So she didn't give up. She didn't disappear. She could have for her age, she would have had an excuse if she couldn't have got out of the bed this morning. Listen, without tripping, I have a hard time getting out of the bed in the morning. But you understand what I'm saying? She made an effort. She met God. She met God. She came here knowing that she was going, what? Under what expectation? She was expecting to hear something from God, not just words. And that's what we're going to get to. We'll look at words later on down the road, because we've come to the age now where it's speak the word. And I was thinking the other day, you know, there had to be a time where there was a laying on of hands. The Bible didn't take laying on of hands out of the service. But there is a time where the Bible tells you to speak to this mountain. Not even thus saith the Lord, because thus saith the Lord is what somebody else says. It's you say to this mountain, you speak to this mountain. But until we get to that condition, we're still going to lay hands on the sick. And we should be heading toward this condition where we're in speaking condition with God. Amen? But until that, we're going to lay hands on the sick. Amen. We're not going to do away with that. We're going to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, the Bible says. But we are predestinated to adoption according to the book of Ephesians, which is a maturity of a bride. It's a maturity of the people of God that's never been seen before on the face of the earth. Death has not been destroyed on the face of this earth until this age right here. We which are alive and remain shall not prevent or hinder those which are asleep. For the trumpet of God shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And what? Then we're going to be changed, and we're going to be taken out of here. There's somebody going to stand one day, and death is not going to have any dominion over them anymore. And that couldn't happen in any other age but this age. And if it doesn't happen to this generation, I was thinking yesterday, I was watching the service of Brother Biscoe and how old he is and how the older ones are getting older. But there's another group that's coming underneath that's being able to bring maybe some more, like Brother Tom Ray and his church is doing a masterful job taking over for him. And we appreciate all that. We appreciate the Lord putting everybody in their position. If you'll get in your position, then there'll be no gap in God. There's no gap in God. God will have somebody. We may have a song leader that's leading singing, and then like Brother Dick was. And then all of a sudden, Brother Dick's gone, and then there's Richard Marlowe. And then Richard Marlowe's gone, and then God's going to have somebody. If you're in the will of God, God's going to have somebody that can't ever take that person's place, but can take a position underneath that and just keep going. Just keep walking right through, and we're going to walk out of here. God's not going to have a gap where he's going to say, oh, man, I forgot to get, kind of like me or somebody trying to get somebody to, as when I was doing the Sunday school superintendent, you got, oh, man, somebody's out of town. I got to find somebody to get. God don't do that. He's already got that person in position. What we got to do is yield ourselves. Yield ourselves to God and say, God, use me whichever way you can. That's what we call submission. That's what we didn't get into this morning too much, but we did preach on submission because the wife submits yourself to your husband's. But we're the wife. We're supposed to submit ourselves to Jesus Christ. Everybody with me on this, all right? So we were looking at the chart this morning. We won't look at it now. We know that there's a growth development. We know that now there's three stages of adoption, which is what? The birth. The birth is the most important because it gets the baby here. It gets you into the family of God. It makes you where you're in position to be heirs and joint heirs, as we see in verse 17. Heirs and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we what? Suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Then we were talking about this morning, justification. Justification, what does it do? It chops off your past sins. Gets rid of your old nature. It gets rid of your old thoughts, the things that you thought before. It gets rid of those. But now remember, that same wheel is spinning. That same devil is still, like Brother Bob had it this morning, the snake is still in the soul. The snake's still there, but you have come to a place to where you stepped over and said, look, I don't want to be included in that anymore. I want a new life. And that's what we were talking about this morning about when you get married, you're putting two lives together. You're putting two families together. You're putting two people together that's if you hadn't dated very long, you haven't known each other very well. Brother Anderson and I were talking in his country. Well, his country is America. But in his native country, they had weddings that they just picked that girl and that guy and put them at the altar. Had no time to get to know each other. Arranged marriages, we know that. But he was talking about arranged marriages. I told him, I said, nobody's ever went down the aisle going, oh, I sure don't want to go out here and marry this person. He said, they probably happened overseas. I should have went somewhere else. But not with God either. Listen, if you come to God, we got to be sincere. I wanted to marry Jim. There was a time when I wanted to marry her. Now, there's been times, anyway, there's times that I wanted to marry her again, and I'd marry her again in a heartbeat. There's no other woman I want. I want God to think the same way about me. That's my statue of a perfect man. That's my coming to perfection, is that I want God to be so pleased with me. That's my husband. I don't want anybody else. I don't want no one else. That's all I want. And then what's he going to do? He's going to consume us. I believe he'll consume us with, like the Bible says, the brightness of his coming. We will be in his image. I mean, my heavens, Mom and Dad's been married 62 years. Mama, I hope not. Mama, I'm 62. Be 64 this year. I'm 62 years old, Mama. Help me here. Help me. Help me. Turn that tape off for just a second. Turn that tape off for just a second. Yeah, I'll just say that now it's really dumb. No, they'll be married 64 years. They kind of look alike. When people get older, they kind of look alike. Because they've grown together, they've shared each other, they've done all these things in their life. That's what God's wanting with us, though, to share ourselves with Him so much that we look like Him. Because if you're born again, you're born in His image. Everybody with me? Yeah, it is kind of funny. Naturally. But not with God. I do want to look like you. I want, you know, being Mrs. Jesus Christ ought to be an honor. It's an honor and privilege to be for June to be my wife and her to be, you know, to me a wife and me to be to her a husband. But what about, you take that times, Brother Brown said, times millions and millions. That's what you get when you get agape love. It's way past filial love. June and I love each other, and I know some of y'all love your wives the same way. But that's nothing compared to the love of God. That's a temporary way to get through this world. That's a temporary way to get through this world. So that's why the new birth is so important, because it's not a temporal way to get through. It's an eternal way to get through. Amen? An eternal way to get through. So under justification, what we were talking about this morning, we're talking about marriage, the vow and the commitment, because we'll get into it way later, maybe in another sermon. Your vow is what marries you, not your consummation. Because the consummation is the consummation. Your vow is what marries you. All right? Everybody gets quiet when you start talking about marriage and divorce. Man, everybody's going, what's he going to say next? But it's a commitment. Will you make a commitment? When Lily and Zach, we're back to you again, because I can't find nobody else that's fixing to get married. All right? Michael, he's slow. He's a good-looking man, though. Turn them cameras right here. Look at this. I remember old brother Ron Spencer. Remember some of y'all older ones that used to go to youth camps. He'd embarrass you to death. He'd say, look, this young man, stand up. And he'd make him stand up. And he'd say, you available, right? Yep. Girls? I mean, just laid him on display. But when you two talk back and forth, then there was a commitment. You didn't want nobody but her, and she didn't want nobody but you. There was a commitment. There was a justification going on. There was a chopping off of all the past life. There was a getting rid of, I'm going to talk to Susie tonight, and then I'm going to call Lily. I don't even know who Susie is. I'm going to call Susie tonight, and then I'm going to call Lily. No. All you wanted to see was Lily. Right? Young love is wonderful. We need more of it. We need to fall in love with Jesus again. We really need to fall in love with Jesus again. So maybe through these steps you'll see that please, please love your wife. Because if you don't love your wife, Christ can't love you. I said can't, and I mean what I said. Because the Bible says that He'll treat you like you treat your wife. Some of y'all are in for a bad row. After today, you better be good to your wife. And wife, please be good to your husbands. As the Bible says. So that was a commitment. So there's the justification. You made a commitment. If you want to give your life to God, what'd you do? You come here like I did. You say, God, I'm done. I don't want no more of that. I don't want no more of that. I want something different. I don't want to be running around with four or five different girlfriends. I don't want to have all that. I want one. I have narrowed my thought process down to one person. Because I got my eye on her, and she's got her eye on me. I'm narrowing it down. What? So justification is chopping off your past sins and moving towards something different. Amen? Moving towards something different. Moving towards your new boyfriend or moving toward God. Because before you're married to God, He really is just your boyfriend. Come on. Listen, if you're a ranked sinner, you can't understand God just like that. Did you understand your new spouse just like that? No. And then it took trial and error. Thank God it doesn't have that with God. There's only one of Him. There's no trial and error on His part. You better not be trial and erroring on your part. Because you know what? That puts you close to the world. That's why there's no three gods. There's one God. His name's Jesus Christ. And that's who we're married to. We're not married to three different people. three persons in the Godhead. That ain't even sensible. Person's a personality. It's an individual. They're not an individual. God's one. You have just one husband, right? You just have one wife, right? Isn't that the type of Christ in the church? That's what the Bible says, right? All right. So through justification, we chop off all that past going to these places and doing all this stuff. We move into what? We move into sanctification, which what? The unclean spirit goes out. So all those unclean spirits, now you say unclean spirits, I'll say those things that I was talking about this morning, quirks and likes and dislikes, all that you're doing away with. Because you know what? There were some things in my life that June didn't like. There were some things in her life I didn't like. You know what? I gave them up to take her. Unclean spirits. I don't like them no more. I used to like them, but I don't like them anymore. If you don't want me to do X, Y, Z, then okay, we'll work on it. We'll talk about it. All right? We'll get rid of those. Same way with God, because when you come to God, the prophet of God said he gives you a new spirit. According to Ezekiel, he gives you a new spirit, and then he puts his spirit in. It's not the Holy Spirit. It's a spirit, what? To make you want to come to church. To make you want to see that. To make you want to go on a date with the right person. Not calling four or five people up. Are we okay with this? When the unclean spirit's gone out of a man, he walks through dry places. That's the same thing in sanctification when we come to that. Same thing. But look, it's actually a commitment of change. Justification is really not. I mean, you're starting to that, but justification is just getting rid of, I'm not going to have that anymore. Sanctification is, I'm going to commit to change. I'm going to commit to what? Like I said before, if I smoked, I'm not going to smoke. If I drank, I'm not going to drink. If I cursed, I'm not going to curse. That's in sanctification. That's just getting to know God. That's when he gives you a new spirit, not his spirit. When he gives you his spirit, come on, folks, it's different. If you haven't experienced it, then try him out. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Go visit. Go visit your husband to be. When y'all were just first dating, I mean, it was like, you know, Zach could, you know, he'd wander off somewhere, and then he'd appear back 2 weeks later, and Lily would appear, and then she'd disappear 2 weeks later. But now, when they get close to getting married, which is sometime this year, and later part of the year, we're going to see a lot of that one right there. Why? Because she's made a commitment. She's going to move to be with Bob. No. Yeah, you ain't kidding. Run. Sorry, Kathy. No, you're going to make a choice to move. To change your life for one person. You're going to change your life for one person. That's in sanctification. That's what we should be with God. We should be willing to change our life. And we get that new spirit. That we can get along with God. That we can get along with each other. That's what the prophet of God tells us. But listen. Don't fool your wife or spouse into thinking that I'm going to get rid of these, and then once we get married, I'm going to bring them right back in. Because you're going to be, oh, come on. That's a disaster waiting to happen. You know why? Because you don't believe. Well, we'll get to that. We got to get to faith here sometime. He said, then I will return. This is Luke. When the unclean spirit has gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeketh rest, findeth none. Then says, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he comes, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. In other words, cleaned up, cleaned out, and committed to a change. But now, if you don't really commit yourself to that, you're going to leave the door open. Everybody with me? The door is still going to be open, and guess what? That demon's going to walk right back in, and he's going to make you so religious. He goeth and taketh seven other spirits, more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. Let's read 2 Timothy 2. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. You know, we talk about engagement, and Lily and Zach are engaged now. But before they were engaged, and hear me out, before they were engaged, there were certain things they couldn't do. Everybody with me? I'm going to just preach a little bit. There's certain things they couldn't do. See, there's certain things I couldn't do with God in sanctification because I didn't know how. Until he gave me that new spirit. Until they got together and started talking. And man, when it got to where they were like, man, we're meant for each other. It just, I mean, clicked. Right? I hope it did with y'all. Some of y'all looking at me like, that didn't happen to me. We're having a vow renewal service in a few months. Y'all need to work on that. But you come to a place to where then everything else was shut out. Right? You made a commitment. You said, all right, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm not going to do this more. I am committing myself to you. Isn't that what you said? You got down on your knee. And you said, will you marry me? In other words, will you give yourself to me? She didn't run. We have the pictures on the internet. She looked like she was crying maybe. Why? Because it was joy. It was joy. You remember? I remember. I remember asking June's dad if I could marry her. He said, please take her. I'm going to go hunting or something. I don't know. It's not even hunting season. You know, the camper we bought. Yeah, there's a camper. Brand new. I ain't even slept in it yet. Looks like that's going to break this morning, this afternoon. But anyway. But look, if we can't, like I said before, if we can't put all this into our walk with God, because we're supposed to be married to Christ, but we just don't jump up and go, married. You didn't. Maybe you did. I don't know. But I didn't. Most of you didn't. Most of you went through a courtship. You went through a time to where you said, I like this, I don't like this. I like that, I don't like this. I want to do this. Can we live here? Can we drive this kind of car? All kind of decisions. But it all boils down to where Zach said, I'm not worried about that anymore. Will you marry me? Right? I mean, you can go through all that stuff. But you come down to a point to say, look, I want you to be my wife. Well, you know what? God said the same thing to us. I want you to be my wife. I'm going to focus on you. Now it's your time to focus on me. All right, now you're heading toward the marriage. You're heading toward the marriage. And like we said before, look, Judas Iscariot, the one that betrayed Jesus, he was justified by faith. He was sanctified by faith. He walked with what? He walked with God himself. And he was so slick, nobody knew it except God. Nobody knew he was the deceiver. Except God Almighty himself. So God knows whether you really want to or not. Please, please, folks, don't fall off the wagon. Don't get started and stop. You got to go forward. It's death. It's eternal. You say hell's not eternal. No, hell's not eternal, but death is. There's an eternal separation from God that you'll never get back if you turn this down. Sorry. So now we look and we see the union. The union is coming up and we're getting ready to have a wedding and we're getting ready for the ceremony. And this is the real commitment because we're going to become intimate. I hope this don't hurt you. Then is when you want to become intimate. You want to share yourself with your spouse, not just shaking hands or holding hands or saying I love you. Intimacy. Something that you share with no one else. A part of you that you share with no one else. And then what happens? You get married. You get married. That union comes together. And it, from all that walk that you have with God, there's a time when he wants to give you the new birth. And what does he do with the new birth? Just be plain. He plants himself inside of you. Amen? He plants himself right inside of you. He takes the old you and he burns you out. He takes you. Lily Porter will not be Lily Porter anymore. It'll be Lily Black. She has given up her past life. She has given up anything, any hold that she has on her earthly being Lily Porter anymore. Now, folks, that's a commitment. And that's a lifelong commitment. That's a last. I told somebody the other day, I said, look, I'll never do a ceremony if you keep your maiden name. That's not right. It's not even hyphenated. Boy, get them all quiet. I'll not do a hyphenated one either, because that's keeping part of your old name. No, you know what that means? That means you're not giving your all to Christ. You give your all to Christ. You lay your head over on his shoulder, and he lifts that veil, and he says, I love you. You just lay your head on me, and he said, we'll get through this together. We'll get through this together. And that's what we're doing now as we come to a holy union. Not what a union maybe you're thinking in your mind, but a holy union. To where God right now today, in the womb of your mind, God is planting. He's planting seed. If you're married to him, he has an intimate relationship with you, and you are drawing closer and closer to him. Everybody with me? And then what comes out of that union? Life. A life comes out of that union. As I was saying this morning, we're expecting. We're expecting. We're pregnant. We're going to have a baby. We're going to have life. Your sisters, look what's given you. We can't produce life by ourselves. It takes a wife. So Christ, without a bride, on the day of Pentecost, there would have been nobody. But he had 120. Then he had 3,000. Then he had 3 million. And ever how many through the church ages? That's been an intimate relationship with God and him planting himself inside of you. And then you stay intimate the rest of your life with him. Oh, we have our ups and downs. Come on, folks. You know, somebody said a few minutes ago, said y'all was, Christian in Ohio. He said, y'all just, I said, I love the way you love your wife. Well, we have our issues. I'm going to step over here. We have our issues. But it's just like I told somebody about winning and losing in life and winning and losing in the stock market or whatever you want to say. You got to win more than you lose. That's just life, folks. You're going to lose. You just got to win more than you lose. You got to stack that win up just as far as you can stack it, because you're going to have some losses. Lily, Zach, you're going to have some hard times. But you know what? If you love each other. Now, did God do away with you at the hard times? I think he sticks closer. Where we separate. That's the same way with people at church. When people get in trouble at church, first thing you do is what? Leave. Worst thing you can do in the world. Worst thing, you're in a death march. You can't leave life and expect life. You can't do that. You can't leave life and expect life to come. You've got to come. That's why we've got to come together. It says in the Bible for us to come to church. But to come to church is to what? Is to show God our love for him. Right. Oh, really? So we just, some of y'all just love him part of the time? I'll say it again. Some of you just love him part of the time? Or you love him all the time? I can't crawl under here. I'm too big. Don't be throwing stuff at me. But I'm telling you, that's what it is. That's what we've come down to, an intimate relationship with God. I want to always be with my wife. I don't want to be with somebody else's. I always want to be where she's available to me and I'm available to her. Doesn't matter if it's phone, doesn't matter if whatever it is. The same way with God. And you know what? It's like Brother Bob said this morning. If you don't come to church and you know you should, because the Bible says you should, that's iniquity. That's a hideous sin. And God will do what? Destroy iniquity. And if it's inside of you, just saying. I'm just trying to be plain. We've got to come to a place that this can't be something hard to do. And what I mean by hard is like I said, Sister June and I have our issues. But we let our wins outweigh our losses. You got the same way with God. You got to let your wins outweigh your losses. And listen, if you're married to God, you'll never lose. You may think you might, but that's all on you because of your humanity. But God's, you know what? God's a cheerleader. He's saying, come on. Come on. I'll meet you halfway if you'll come. Draw nigh unto me. I'll draw nigh unto you if you'll draw nigh unto me. I'll meet you there. And that's what it is with a marriage. It's not one-sided. Oh, please, people. We've come up under that junk where the woman was down here and the men was up here, and they thought that was the message of the hour. They thought that if you kept your wife in line and she was barefoot and pregnant and cooked your meals, that you were all going in the rapture. Most of those people are dead. Sorry to say. But that was the whole mentality they got out of the message of the hour. Keep your wife under subjection. Keep your foot on top of her. And she shuts up and don't say a word. Yeah. I've seen them people, but I've also seen them people where I believe, well, when he gets behind closed doors, she'll bust his head. Heard that. Yeah, me too. I don't put up with that junk. That's just junk. But Christ and the bride. Does Christ keep his foot on our head all the time, stomping on us all the time? No. He does it out of love. Can you not do something out of love? Like I said before about grace, that stop sign's there. It's going to stay there because it's a law. But God every once in a while sees that there's a circumstance that you might need to get past that. And he'll say, okay, I made the law, but I'm going to give you a way to get through it. Amen. I'm going to give you a way to go on through that. But like I said before, it's only in certain circumstances. You can't do that and call it greasy grace and be able to run through that traffic light every time you see it because you got through it one time. That's why Brother Branham in Marriage and Divorce, here y'all going to crawl under the benches. He said, go on as you are. God's made a way. He said, but don't you ever do it again. Right. All right? He's going to let you through the red light one time. Right. But don't come up to that red light again and say, oh, I don't want this one. I'll get me another one. I like what the Bible says. What God has joined together, right, let no man put asunder. Right. Prophet God even tells some drunken magistrate marries you on the street or something, you know. But what God joined together, same way in the new birth, folks, what God joined together, if you really get the new birth, you're done. You're His. Amen. You're His for an eternity. Sit back and enjoy the benefits. Yes, right. Amen? Amen? He died to give you benefits. Right. And He rose then to be your lover for an eternity. Amen. Agape love, not filial love. That's all we go to. We go to... I'm not going to say it. Filial love is just... like it's got a lid on it. Agape love has no lid. It goes for an eternity. Because how you think for an eternity, we're going to get to explain and talk about and look at the one that asked me to marry him. And I'm going to say I do. When you get the new birth, he's going to be pleased to dwell inside of you. Just like Jesus on the River Jordan. He said, I'm pleased to dwell in this vessel. The Holy Ghost... and whom you trusted after that you heard the word of truth. In other words, after you went through... listen, you can get the new birth, I believe, in an instant. But I also believe you got to go through justification, sanctification to get to the baptism of the Holy Ghost to give you that new birth. You got to go through a process. You might go through it one day, one week, one year, or 10 years. It doesn't matter. God's long-suffering. But you get to it, though, and then what we're talking about, this statue of perfect man. See, we go to the ceremony, and then we have the baby, and then we go, well, we're done. No, you live your life. Amen. There's life to live. Sister June and I had two kids. Got a beautiful grandbaby back there in the back, and a wonderful-looking grandson down there over there in the corner. You are my grandson. So we didn't just, we're just going to do away with them. Yeah, we're not going to, I don't want to see y'all anymore. Yeah, no, it's not God. That's right. I think our love is more bonded to now than it was before. Because you had life to deal with. But you come up toward the end of your life and there's not a whole lot of life to deal with. Except your physical body. But you should draw closer and closer to your spouse. Because till death do you part, there's something in that vow. That you can't move from. The Word of God's unmovable. And the Word of God says, love conquers a multitude of sins. Amen. It's like Dad's always said, you know, you got have a spout with your wife and she didn't make you coffee that morning. That's okay because I brew my own. She believes in the book of Hebrews. He brews his coffee every morning. Right? So she don't have to worry about that. But if she gets up one morning and say she's made your coffee for 20 years and then all of a sudden she gets up one morning and decides not to make you any coffee. Well, what's the first thing you guys are going to do? What? No. There's something. You know your wife enough to know there's something wrong. Not that you turn it to where it's something bad. There's something wrong with your spouse if she didn't do that. If she's been doing it for 20 years. Am I with you? Everybody with me? There's something wrong. Then you need to find out what's wrong, not kick her to the curb and say, hey, woman, go make me my coffee. No, there's a reason behind all this. Now, what if God did that to us? What if we didn't come to church one Sunday? Make the coffee. God's going to go, I don't want to deal with you anymore. I'll see you later. Bye. No, that's not what God did. God said, there must be something wrong with my wife. I think I'll go down there myself. I'm not going to send an angel. I'm going down there myself. There's something going on that I need to know. He actually already knows it. But for dramatization, he goes down and he says, what's wrong, honey? That's what he's doing today. Through me, sorry, he's going, what's wrong, honey? What's wrong with you? How many times have you come to church and something be wrong with you and the preacher just preached it right down your line? Right? Say one or two words or three sentences and that's all you get. But he's talking to you. Well, that's not me talking to you. I didn't know what your problem was when you got walked in the door, but God did. So he sent, by the foolishness of preaching, he sent somebody to yield theirself to say, hey, my wife's got a problem. Can you go down there and talk to him? You ever thought it like that? That's the way I see it. But you see, we have a birth. Life comes. There's no life till the new birth. God's not in your soul until the new birth. He's there. He's close. They come to church together. They do things together. They're doing this together. They're doing that together. But until you get married, then when you get married, you step into a whole different realm. And then the conception comes to have the baby. And then, oh, that's a different story then. Because you got a what? You got a living creature that you got to take care of. But it's what? It's a baby. So as we were talking about this morning, justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost is bottom of the pyramid. I'm going to skip through some of this. We know we'll receive power. Listen, Lily will receive power after she marries Zach. She does not have the power to be his wife right now. She does not have the power to write his checks, unless y'all already done that. She does not have the power to go to a store and say, I'm the wife of. She doesn't have that power. Potentially she does. But she doesn't have that legal power now. But guess what? Come the end of this year, when they come together and consummate and bring the wedding together and she throws her name out and takes his name, then they go to the bank and they go to the bank and say, oh, well, now we're married. We're going to be Mr. and Mrs. Right. Yeah. And she has just as much power as he does to write the check. She has just as much authority as he does to run the household, to run the things, you know, pay the bills and go buy groceries and all. See what I'm saying? That's what God told us. He said, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth. All right. Miss Greek one sitting in the back. She told me I said Zune wrong because Leah is she's Greek. And it's supposed to be, I ain't even going to stay. How do you say dunamis in Greek? That dunamis? Ah, what is it? Hey! Dunamis. Because it's got that little doohickey sticking right there. See that little doohickey right there? That makes it all different. But anyway, you shall receive, I'm going to say it to me, dunamis. You're going to receive what? Power, strength, ability, inherent power, power residing in a thing by virtue of its nature, or which a person or thing exerts or puts forth, power to perform miracles, moral power and excellence of soul. When you're bound together, where are you bound with? You and Lily, you and Zach are bound with power. You've been given power to be one. You've been given power to do things yourself. I can say, let's go, wife. Let's go to this place. And when I walk in, they say, she's with me. That's my wife. Right on in. But now what if I go, now this is my girlfriend. Now sometimes they'll go, I don't know if you can go in. Well, nowadays you can. But it used to be that a girlfriend was different than a wife. Right. Amen? It still is in my book. Your book too, if you're a Christian. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Through the, say it again. Dunamis. Through the dunamis. And that's where they get the word dynamite from. It's from that word because it means power. It means explosion. I hope that when you got married, there was an explosion. Sorry, Michael, you're not going to understand this, but you will. But there was something happened that never happened before. You come together with a woman that you'd never been with before. It's an intimacy that no 7 billion people will ever experience. You and her. Same way with God at the new birth. When you get born again, it is an intimate relationship that he does not share. Listen, God can share with everybody else because he's a God. He's God. You and I can't do that. We're not polygamists. I don't know why we would even want to be polygamous. One's enough. Amen, Sister Jen said. Right? But the Spirit which is of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world. Or another spouse. Or another person. We receive what? The Spirit which is of God. That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. In other words, now Zach's able to share his... it's going to hurt. Really. Share his paycheck. Gonna happen, dude. Sorry. But listen, and here I go again. I'm like Brother Dale. I do not agree in his account and her account. I do not agree with that. I do not agree with that. That, to me, is a disaster waiting to happen. This is my money. This is my money. Well, you write that out of your check. I ain't writing it out of that one. You write it out of yours if you want it. Now, come on, people. That's a division. And listen, there's nobody. I can't put it in the Bible. I just put it in the Bible one thing. These two are one. These two checkbooks are one. These two contracts are one now. These two are now one. So you have one account, but now you're not going to share, I hope not, share it with her until you get married. The marriage brings a lot of things together that the other part doesn't bring together. Same way with God. That's why when you get the new birth, I believe you'll feel that intimacy. More with God than you've ever felt before. But then we don't stop there, though. We keep going on. Keep going on here, too, so we can get through with this. I thought it'd be shortened up a little bit. But what's the evidence of the new birth? Yeah, let's read this right here. Smyrna Church Age. Now, when God is silent, we'd better be silent. But where he speaks, we'd better speak too, and say what he has already said. He told us the evidence, or what would happen after being baptized with the Holy Ghost, was that we would what? Have the teacher come and teach all truth. But that teacher was an inside teacher, not an outside teacher. Inside teacher. What? That makes it intimate. Between you and God. There's nobody that knows your inside except God. There's nobody that knows your ins and outs like your wife. No one knows that. It's scary as all get out when we be driving along and Jen will say something and I'll be like, oh, I'm just thinking the same thing. Why? Because you know why? That's not because you're some supernatural spiritual something. That's just that you live together so long that whatever's happening or going to happen, you're thinking about it and she's thinking about it. So you say, well, I was thinking about the same thing. We were doing something the other day and she said, well, I was thinking about the same thing. But what? It's something pertaining to life. So guess what? Same way with God. When you start what? Thinking on God. Right. Isn't that what the prophet said? You start thinking on God, God will come on the scene. You start thinking about God, God will come on the scene. Well, our problem is we think about everything else but God. And think that's going to help our problem. Those who had the Spirit, the teacher, heard the word. And that Spirit in them took the word and taught it in them. The intimacy inside of them where nobody else can see it. Except you display it out. The reason I display it out is you don't see me at a bar. You don't see me with two women hanging around my neck. You don't see me with... You see me with that. And you see me with her. You don't see me in a room. If there's one of you girls going in that room, you know what I do. I come out here. I don't let the devil have no play. No chance to play. You know what? I ain't worried about my mind, I'm worried about y'all's. But I don't go in a room with another woman. If we need to discuss something, June's always there with us. Dad's always done, he told me a long time ago, he said, don't ever do that. And he said, you never know what's going to get into. But see, that's the devil that we fight. I'm pure, June's pure, you would be pure, but somebody may not have a pure mind and would start thinking things. So you just what? You don't get place for the devils. Like Gary Longoria said, he said, we trust, the devil we don't. So those who had the Spirit, the teacher, heard the word, and that Spirit in them took the word and what? Taught it and revealed it to them. And they were of the group that heard the message and his messenger and his message, look, and took it and lived it. That's what I was talking about this morning. The message is not living William Branham. It's living Christ. He was a conduit or he was a trumpet that God used to sound the truth to people. The truth to this world. What does God send a prophet to do? Condemn the world and bring a message. Take out a bride. He sent Elijah to where? A widow woman. Getting ready 3.5 years. She was going to starve to death if she didn't have Elijah there. One more time. She was going to starve to death. For 3.5 years, there was a drought. She was a widow woman. She didn't have a husband to do her work. She didn't have a husband to plant. It wouldn't have done you good to plant anyway, because for 3.5 years, the Bible said there wasn't even dew on the ground. Wow, that's dry. But yet she met Elijah. Oh, hallelujah. She met Elijah. God sent her an Elijah that said, if you'll do this, make me a cake. Obey the word of God. You'll never go hungry for 3.5 years. Your barrel, you'll take out a scoop and a scoop will come back. You take out 2 scoops and 2 scoops is going to come back. What a God. And that was wheat that had already been beat. And the cruse of oil, you got to mash those olives to get the oil out of it or whatever it is, you know. What a mighty God we serve. But watch as we continue on. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as in the spiritual, but carnal, even unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. Talking to the Corinthians. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying, strife, division, and ye are not carnal, and walk as men. 1 Peter 2 says, wherefore laying aside all malice, all guile, all hypocrisies, all envies, all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. if so be that you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. We got the baby here. We've had the consummation. We've got the new birth. We got the baby here. What are we going to do? We're going to add. We're going to add. You see, we're talking about the potter. The potter has now come to finish the vessel. He's got his hand down in. It's all dirty. He's got the wheel going. He's getting ready to zip it off the wheel and put it in the fire. And he's going to burn it. He's going to burn everything out of it. And he's going to put that pot in use. Now let's go to 2 Peter 1. Simon Peter, and a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have what? Obtained like precious faith. Not going to say something. I was going to say something. Okay. With us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power. There's that dunamis. That power. Hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises that by these, the prophet said these promises, you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Zach is going to promise Lily he's going to take care of her. Amen. Now, if he breaks that, we'll kill him. Bob said yes. But there's promises made. But remember, God never... He's never made a promise he can't keep. So I got to put my shoulder, I got to put my head as the bride on his shoulder and put my burdens on him. He said, cast your burdens on me. Give me all your cares. Give me all your burdens. Let me lay my head, Lord, on your shoulder because I know you can't fail. Now, we fail as human beings. We do make mistakes. We do make plans that don't come to fruition. But that's the human part of us. But God never has. God's never had to take his word back. He's never had to change it. It's forever the same. But we have to partake the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. This is where we've been trying to get to for a month. Add to your faith, the Bible says. That's what's down at the pyramid. Add to your faith. In other words, add to your new birth. Because faith's not an add, it's a birth. It's what we've been going through. It's the birth of the baby. It's getting the baby here. It's getting life. It's, ow! All right, now what are you going to do? You'll feed the baby. That's where Christians get it right. We're a nominal Christian. They say, oh, we got born again. Everything's fine. We're done. Everything's hunky-dory. No, you just then begin to grow. That's why God had to send us a prophet to tell us. But he didn't send us a prophet to tell us anything different because look, 2 Peter 1 was written probably about 1,500 years ago or longer. It had just been misplaced. Satan had hid it so nobody could grow in God. Satan had malnourished the people in the church ages and only given them a little bit to eat. Like we were talking about the quotes of the missed meal cramps. You know, you get into missing some meals, you get cramps in your stomach. But 2 Peter tells us the whole thing right here. Add to your faith virtue, virtue knowledge, knowledge temper, temper patience. But why do we need a prophet of God to come? To turn us back to that. We got away from that. God can't use you. You're not a good wife if he can't use all of you. You can't give just part of yourself to God. You got to jump in. When them two get married, they're jumping in. They're jumping into uncertainty, but you're not jumping into uncertainty with God. When you marry him, you will become more certain. Because look, and what are you doing this? Here, Zach. Give me your love. Give me your love. Give me your love for her. What? You say you love her? I hope you did. Well, give me yours. I'm going to give it to him. It's real though, isn't it? Really? I don't see it. So faith is what? The substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. But it will be displayed. Faith is the substance. There's a substance in their love, because you know what? They're fixing to commit themselves to each other. There's a substance in that love that you can't have, I can't have, the devil can't have. Praise God. Amen. The devil can't have this intimacy. He's not an intimate person. God is the most intimate person in the world. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things you can't see. Where's your love? Put it right here. It's a substance. I mean, it's going to be true. It's going to be something they live by for the rest of their life till the Lord comes. But can you show it to me? No. But they're going to display it. It's going to be an outward display. Watch. For by it, the elders obtained a good report. This thing you can't see. The elders obtained a good report because of something they couldn't see. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Now, you got to have faith. Faith is the basis for this whole thing. Did anybody see Jesus get put on a cross? No. Did you see him come out of a tomb? Did you shake his hand? No, literally you didn't. So we have to have faith in something that we can't even see. But it's so real, it's going to put you in eternity. Amen. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. You know what this man God's going to do? Let me tell you how big your God is. In Revelations 21 or 2, it says, I, John, saw the holy city coming down out of heaven as a bride adorned for her husband. Do you know how much that city is going to weigh? You can't even fathom it. It's made of gold, silver, all those precious metals, and he's just going to go. And it's not going to go. It's going to set lightly on that mountain. Not even a puff of smoke. That's how big our God is. But you know who he did it for? He didn't do it for the world. He didn't do it for the animals. He didn't do it for the angels. He did it for you. He made that city by your desires. If you're born again today, you'll be living in that city because you got part of the city inside of you. You have connected to that city. But what kind of God that could just control a city bigger than any city we've seen? It's supposed to be 1,500 miles square. There's no city on earth 1,500 miles square. But he's just going to set it right down like a feather right on that mountain and say, here, this is what you built. I built this for you by your desire because I love you. By faith, Abel. See, that's the faith we got to have for a body change. Oh, that's way up here. Well, now to God, bringing that city down is no different than him picking up a blade of grass. And that man's supposed to be living inside of me and you. Some of our training's a little off. And I say all of us. We need to be trained more to realize who we got inside of us. Amen. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead, yet speaketh. Now watch this right here. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. Now listen. And was found not because God had translated him, but before his translation, watch it, he had this testimony that he pleased God. What is that? Verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. So faith is what Enoch had. Enoch had faith to walk over into another dimension. Wow. You know what we're looking at? But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that what? Come every once in a while. Pick up their Bible every once in a while. It says diligently seek him. Perfect faith, 1963. Now we want to speak now upon faith, a different type of faith. Perfect faith. We got faith that when we're going to walk outside, we're going to get in our car, we're going to stick the key in, we're going to turn it, and it's going to crank, right? That's not this kind of faith. This is perfect faith. That's a great thing. Now, faith, we're told in the Bible, faith cometh by hearing. And now, you cannot be saved without faith. And faith is something that you have to believe it's there, that really nothing else will declare it's there but faith. Same way with their love for each other. It'll only be declared by what they show. Now, I'm trying to bring faith to you so that you can be ready for this prayer line in the next few minutes. Now, faith, he that cometh to God must believe that he is. And it's impossible to please God without faith. So don't try. You know what I mean. Try, but don't try. Say, well, this is all I'm doing. No, we got to be diligent. It's impossible to please God without faith. You cannot please him. If you say you believe God, you've never seen him, see? So then you've got to believe it by faith. Look, if you could see him, it wouldn't be faith. I don't have faith that I'm going to get to church today and preach. I'm here. That's what we got to realize. We got to realize that we're here. We're not in the journey anymore. We are here. We're at a place to where we are here now. You say, well, you don't need faith. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying you don't need the faith. You don't need faith to be at church. You're already here. Because watch. We're going to read here in just a minute. It would be no more faith if you could see him. Anything that the senses declare is no more faith is a scientific fact. See, it's no more faith, but you have to accept him by faith. And he that cometh to God must believe God. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. You must first believe that this is God's word. There's people still arguing about that. Is this the word of God or does it contain the word of God? Is everything, you know, like we say before, you know, you tell some people, you go, you say, well, now the Bible tells you not to wear, women not to wear pants. Well, that's in the Old Testament. It is, Deuteronomy 20-something. Right? So is the Ten Commandments. You believe in them? Okie dokie then. It's the word of God and you can't change it. You must first believe this is God's word and you must come to God by the word. See, just take the word, what it says, that's right. Everything else is contrary to it. It's not right. Why Christ speak, Jeffersonville, 1963. Let's go and watch this right here. Talking about Moses. When Moses saw he was raised up for this purpose and he had met face to face this great God who had made the call and had anointed him and identified him, said, this is your call, Moses. I'm sending you. This is your call, spoken word church. I'm sending you. And had anointed him and identified him, said, this is your call, Moses. I'm sending you. I'm going to show you my glory. And here I am in a bush burning. Go down there. I'll be with you. He'd already tried it 40 years before that. He didn't have a burning bush experience, though. He didn't even need a stick. He had the word, the vindicated word, and there he went. Look, it anointed the faith that was in him. That's why you can't have the new birth without having faith, and you can't have rightly have faith without having a new birth. They go hand in hand. Now watch this. And it anoints us when we see that we're living in the last days. To find out that all these signs that we see being taken place that spoke of in Scripture would take place in the last days, all the way from heaven to the political power, the nature of people, the demoralization of the world and among the women and how they would do in the last days and how the men would do and how the churches would do, how the nations would do and how God would do. And we see it all laying right here on us. Oh, it anoints our faith. It moves us out in the great cycles. It separates us from other things of the world. See, no matter how little we are, or how much a minority we are, how much we're laughed at, made fun of, don't make a bit of difference. Let them laugh, folks. You know the old saying, we'll get the last laugh. You don't worry. That's all. We see it. There's nothing, there's something within us. We were predestinated to see this hour. And there's nothing going to stop us from seeing it. Amen? Here God has spoken. It's already happened. We see it and how we thank God for this. Oh, then, it brings out your faith when we see these things happening here. The problem is, when we see things happening, we go in the other direction. The world sees these things happening, all the economy and all that stuff. What's the first thing they do? They don't have faith. They have fear. You can't have fear and faith at the same place. Joshua, perfect man, 1962. Notice, you must be born again. Y'all notice I've been preaching on this 42 sermons and I've never read a quote from the Statue of Perfect Man until today. Been saving it. Notice, you must be born again. And when you're born again, you can't be born again without having faith. That's right. So you see on my chart here, right here, this is a chart. They don't have to pull it up, but right down here. What's on the bottom? I got the very foundation. Faith is the foundation of all of it. For without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. See, he must be. And when you're a skeptic of the Bible, and when you're a skeptic of the word being right, you just might as well stay back until first you believe it. What is sin? Unbelief. Sin's not smoking, drinking, cussing, and running around. Sin's unbelief. There's only two elements that control the human being. That's either doubt or faith, one or the other. You're possessed of one that dominates your life. Dominates your life. Just depends on how much faith you have is how high you can rise. But first, it's got to be faith. Let me stay on that foundation for a while. Now, faith is what we must believe. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's, you already have it when you have faith because it's revealed in faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, Hebrews 11. See, the evidence. What is it? What kind of an evidence? A holy evidence. Let's go to Expectations, 1953. Faith knows no defeat. Faith is perfect. Faith brings things when there's no things to be brought. Faith creates. Faith takes doubt away. Takes negative and makes it positive. How beautiful. The old man had a basis for faith. Faith is not mythical. Something mentally worked up. It's an absolute fundamental result that happens in a person's heart. When faith is appropriated, then it is something in the person's heart. But it can't be based on, well, go touch a tree and you'll get well. Pray to that post. I've got to have a foundation. Now here it is. I want you to get it. How much more foundation could you place your faith on any level than the Word of God? What more could you put faith in when he said, heavens and earth will pass away, but my word shall never pass away. Statue of Perfect Man, number 8. So now faith does the rest of it. Faith does the rest. So you must have faith for a foundation. All Christianity, all you are, all you'll ever be is based on faith in the Word of God. That's the reason I believe the Word. Let's read this one right here and then we'll stop. Statue of Perfect Man again. First, you must be born again. So now first you must, like we were talking for the past 4 weeks, you got to be born again. And can you get born again? There's not one person can get born again unless somebody's blasphemed the Holy Ghost, and I don't think anybody here's blasphemed the Holy Ghost. So you can be born again. It's just whatever you want. And then when you're born again, you have faith. You believe the Word. Until you're born again, you'll argue against Him. How many of us have done that? Yes. Until you're born again, you'll argue against it. If you're just religiously inclined and you got a little human knowledge that you should do right, you'll never be able to agree upon the Word of God. You'll never do it. You've got to be born again, and born again, it produces faith. All right. Then after you get faith, this right here, F-A-I-T-H, then you're just in position of growing. That faith produces something that can grow. Now, a lot of people go up to the altar and pray and say, Lord, forgive me. And a great experience of sanctification comes upon them. We've been talking about this whole thing and things. And then you have a great time. You get up to the altar, shout. You go back and say, bless God, I got it. No, you just started to a place where you can grow. You ain't done nothing yet. The only thing you've done is just laid the foundation. Now you're going to build a house and you pour the foundation and say, boy, I got her. You got the foundation to build a house on. Now you got to build the house. Now, there's where the thing comes in. This morning, we're going to talk about now, all right, a house. Talk about foundation. This foundation is first. That's why I've been trying to get the baptism of the Holy Ghost so simple enough to where you can understand it, even in your everyday life. Faith is the Word of God. That's your foundation. Then you begin to grow. Then you start. You begin to add to this foundation. I'm going to quote you one more right here. And I did quote this the other day, where Brother Branham said in the Statue of Perfect Man, faith alone won't do it. So it's not just your faith, not just faith alone. He didn't say not. He said alone won't do it. Then add virtue to your faith. You must have virtue in order to add your faith. So what are we doing? We've got to that bottom right here, and we're fixing to grow, and we're going to grow through seven church ages under the Son of God dispensation. It's God and the Holy Ghost inside a believer, limited to their word of the day, limited to the power that they've been given. Amen? And it's seven church ages, and the early church age had these virtues working in the bride body of Christ. But it got lost down through the church ages, and we lost the way. But not now. Yes. Not now. We've got the perfect word of God. I believe we're married to the right spouse. I believe we're yielding ourselves now more to that spouse. And once we yield ourselves more to that spouse, you know what? We get more and more and more. Add to your faith virtue. Virtue, knowledge. Knowledge, temperance. Add. If you're declining, you're not born again yet. Sorry. How can you decline in God when he says add? Add to your faith virtue. I pray to God for the new birth every day. Amen. Lord, save my soul. Amen. Save me from myself. Amen. Save me from what I'm thinking in my mind, contrary to your word. Amen. Help me from that, because we need saving. We need salvation every day. That's why Paul said, I die daily. There's something got to die in you every single day. Let's stand to our feet. Every day, something's got to die. But now remember, what did Paul say? Paul said, in me I find a battle. The things I would not, I do. The things I do, I would not. But in me is a law. That's that law that says you need to stop at that stop sign. But if you need to get through that, if you're an emergency vehicle, go. The law does not apply to you. That's what I've always said about law. There's a law in Georgia, as far as I know, it's not changed, that if you drink and drive, and you blow a .08 on this meter, maybe .06 now. See, because I don't know the law. I know people that know that law upside down the other, because they had it quoted to them because they got caught drunk driving multiple times. So that law is on the books for those people. But since 1998, I've never drunk another drink of any kind of alcohol. So guess what? You can write that law off the books. It's there. It's there if you need it. It's there for those that still do it. To protect the what? To protect the community. To protect the people, the populace, from disaster. But if you never ever drink a day in your life, I don't care if they charge you $10 billion and you blow a .001. Alcohol content. You're never going to have, that law's never going to apply to you. Death has no more dominion over him. Her. You love the Lord? That's the thing we got to see. We got to realize that God is our husband. Put your cares on him. But you know what? You got some work to do. Add to your faith virtue. Your faith knowledge. Add to your faith temperance. And that's not man's temperance, man's knowledge, and man's virtue. Those are God's definitions of those words. And Peter spoke them, so we got to live them. Amen? You love the Lord? Let's continue on. Anybody need prayer or anything, we'll continue on with the communion. Then we'll have foot washing, and then we will go outside and have a baptismal service. If anybody else wants to be baptized, we got plenty of towels. Water's really warm. It's there for you. Praise God that we have a place now that we have a place that can baptize right here and don't have to go anywhere. We can do it right here. So thank God for that. So let's go to 1 Corinthians. Or you can read along with me if you want to. Paul says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me." Remember, there's no testament unless there's the death of a testator. So the testator had to die, the one that had the rule, the law. They had to die. He had to die to make a new testament. That's why the New Testament didn't begin until the book of Acts. The Old Testament was still, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John was still under the Old Testament. Jesus was under the Old Testament law. All right? But what he done was, he's telling, here, look, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he comes. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. What is the Lord's body? The bride. That's why Brother Brown said, if you got aught against somebody, a part of the bride, if you got a problem with somebody, you need to make it right. If you can't get to that person right now, guess what? Take the communion, but you better go make it right, because God will make you pay for it. Because you made a vow. You made a promise to your husband that she was going to do it. Not discerning the Lord's body, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Thank God we don't have to go through the condemnation of this world, because it's going to get it. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together into condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. The prophet of God said to tarry for a moment. Pray for your pastor. Pray for your brothers, sisters. Pray for all these who are in need. Let's have a moment of silence. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever, Lord. Amen. The Bible said he took bread and blessed it. Dear Lord, this bread was made with holy hands. And it's been made, Lord, not to be something that's cherished, that the whole world wants to sit down and eat a meal. Because this whole world doesn't want to be identified with you, Lord. But we're identifying that we're taking your body just to water and flour, and it's not going to be something very nutritious. But Lord, it's going to be a symbol that you came on this earth and you died on a cross to come back and bring your life into us so that we can live and you can live through us, Lord. We pray that you'd just be with us now. Sanctify this bread in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, it's not a glamorous thing. We all, you know, the world, as the prophet of God said, the world's got all kind of glitter and man, you'd think, and I think what Paul was referring to in Corinthians, they were just sitting together having a meal, and they'd get drunk and, you know, eat mutton and drink wine and not reverencing the situation, and they were enjoying themselves. Listen, down inside, we enjoy this. I enjoy taking communion, but it's not something that's very nourishing, I'd rather eat a steak for lunch or for supper, but this is a time where we do this as a symbol. That's why Paul said, when you come together, tarry. If you want to eat at home, go eat at home. Don't just bring. We're not bringing out a big meal and chicken tenders and pot roast. And there's a time for that, but there's a time to be solemn. It's time that, as the prophet tells us about hyssop, God told to take hyssop and dip it in the blood of the animal and put it over the doorpost. He said that's a common weed, because the common people heard him gladly. It's a common occurrence that we take communion. But it's not some flashy meal. It is a seven-course meal if you'll take it right. Amen? It's a seven-course meal if you'll take it right. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this wine. It's been made, Lord, also by holy hands and prepared, Lord, not by the world, but by us, Lord. And I pray that you sanctify it now, that you'll give us a time of reflection, that we look back and see you, Lord. And as we've been talking about marriage today, and Lord, I pray that we'll draw closer to you, that our union will be much more fresh and close as it was before, Father. And I pray as we take this communion that you sanctify us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Come morning, I'll walk by the river. I'll rest neath the evergreen tree. I'll carry my cross through the midnight. Come morning, there's glory for me. Sometimes I'm despised and rejected, and I question, oh Father, how long? Then I take one more look at Mount Calvary, and it gives me the strength to go on. Come morning, I'll walk by the river. Won't it be a great time? I'll rest neath the evergreen tree. I will carry my cross through the midnight, through toils and trials. We'll carry it. There's glory for me. You know, you think about it, we're heading toward something. We're heading toward a time when we'll get out of here. We'll step over in another dimension. As we're talking downstairs in the Bible study, there'll be a destruction of this earth. And if you're still here, you're going to die. And you're going to have to stay dead for 1,000 years. And then you got to come up. After all that, you've got to come up and give an account of what you've done. I won't. Can you say that? The bride won't. The bride will not stand all that. Why would you put your wife through that? Someone you love with all your heart. Why would you put her through the great tribulation? Why would you separate yourself from her for 1,000 years? You wouldn't do that. That's how much God loves you. And everything, you know, I know, and I was out in it, that the world is flashy, and you think, man, I'm young, I live forever, nothing's going to bother me, I'm going to make so much money, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and I'm bulletproof. Satan's got a bullet that'll go through that bulletproof. But if you'll get behind, you know what the greatest shield for a Christian is? Feathers. Feathers. Mother Eagle. Feathers. And you can hide behind in God. You say, you're crazy. Yeah, it's okay. So am I. I am. But that's what God said. I'll protect you. I'll fly on wings of eagles. I'll protect you. I'll keep you safe. There's no weapon formed. Man has spent billions of dollars forming weapons to kill people with. Right? Now, what did Brother Brown say that our atom bomb is? I just told you what it was. God's atom bomb is faith. And Satan can't stand it because he's not faithful. He doesn't have any faith at all. He don't even have any faith in himself. What a mighty God we serve. Everybody ready? Let's partake. Just remain standing. We'll read the scriptures. Then the sisters can go downstairs. Now, when you get finished downstairs, we'll just move on out. If the brothers will, some of you will wash your feet first. Some of you deacons and the ministers, and get out there and get everything ready for the baptism. All you got to do is take the lid off of it. And then we'll immediately, when y'all finish, sisters, usually y'all finish after we do, when you get finished, then just move on out and unlock the playground, and we'll have a baptismal service. We got one, and I pray that there's more. Jesus told us in John chapter 13, says, "Supper being ended, the devil having now put in the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things unto his hand, and that he was come from God and went to God, he rises from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter said, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? This is the man that built this pyramid, the statue of perfect man. All right. Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now. But when you come up to 1 Peter and 2 Peter, you're going to know exactly what's going on, because you got to add to your faith virtue and knowledge. You got to have faith that what I'm doing to you is real. But what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter said unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered and said, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Brother Dale always says that's the two dirtiest parts of your body, your hands and your head, your mind and your hands. Jesus said unto him, He that is washed need not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him, therefore he said, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and taken his garment, was set down again and said unto them, Know ye what I have done unto you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do this as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than the Lord, than his Lord. Neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. Happy are ye if you do them. Some people stay away from communion service. Some people show up for communion service. Well, that ain't going to save you. But you know what it is? It's something God asked you to do. But he asked you to come to church too. So don't miss all of it out. We got to have the whole thing complete. Make it all complete. My husband's got everything. If I marry him, I get a part of it. I'm heirs and joint heirs. I want to give you a little quote here. Remember how, where's Dad? Okay. You know how Bob was quoting Brother Dale this today? Brother Keith Reed just got back from Uganda. He sent me a WhatsApp just right before I walked out the door. He said, Brother Wade, he said, you wouldn't believe how much they teach Brother Dale's teaching. And quote his sermons in Uganda. Pop, you ain't done nothing in vain, son. Nothing. There's people around the world quoting you. There's people around the world reverencing what you've said. And then Bob did today, but he didn't know that Keith had sent me. He just sent it to me because he's coming here to be with us. He said, Brother Wade, you wouldn't believe the people in Uganda that's using Brother Dale's sermons to teach their church. Give God all the glory. Don't worry. Sometimes we think it's all bleak and dark. You know what? It's like I said about the seeds. I planted them seeds about a month ago, and you look out there, and there's nothing growing at all. But down underneath there, it's starting to do this. This root's starting to put down in the ground, and it's starting to, before you even see it, it's starting to suck up nutrients. And then all of a sudden, pops his head up. Now, you got something to brag about. You got a seed. You're going to have some fruit. So it'll all return. It will not return void. So even though, you know, Brother Dale hadn't preached, it'd be almost a year in a couple of weeks that he hadn't preached. Don't worry, Brother Dale. Your voice is being heard. And it's being used around the world. God bless you. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. We ask you just be with us now and take care of us as we go through the next part of this service. And as we go to the baptismal service, Lord, may you soften hearts up, Lord. so that they can realize, Lord, that without the water baptism, that's not a good start of their Christian journey. But, Lord, we take your name in baptism, Lord, and be buried with you, Father, that we know will come up in newness of life. Father, forgive us of our sins and our many mistakes that we make. Be with us, Lord. Be with Brother Bob on Wednesday night as he comes and speaks to us. Be with Brother Daniel this weekend. Lord, just keep us safe on Saturday. They're fishing with and having a good time, Lord, with the men, that you will be with us, Lord, and bless us with fish to catch, Lord, and the young kids, Lord, have a good time, Father, and everything be done for your honor and glory. We praise your great name and thank you for the things that you've given us, Lord. We thank you for a building that we have to come in and sit down and listen to the Word of God. And, Father, we thank you for a strong foundation that we have in this church, Lord, that is built, Lord, on a foundation of the Word of God. And it's being carried into many nations, Lord, just as you said, going to all the world, preach the gospel. Well, now by the Internet, we can do that and not even leave our home. Lord, I thank you for that, that we can use that dimension to bring the gospel to the lost people. Father, give us, Lord, this daily bread and take care of us. Further in this service, be with us in the baptismal service. We give it all to you, Lord. It's all in your hands today in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed. Josh, go ahead and turn the music on. Your sisters, now make sure you be quiet downstairs and be reverent while people watch.